Hey, Hawkeye fans, Chad Leistico, Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register, with our final regular season Tuesday YouTube podcast here at Hawk Central. And can't believe we're here, Kennington, with Iowa having a win and in chance for the Big Ten title game. But we're here, and I would say after talking to players and Kirk Ferentz today, I feel like a confident vibe. And then you said something to me about Kirk Ferentz today that you observed. Why don't you share that with our listeners?
Yeah, I felt like he was very loose today. I feel like this was like the most upbeat, funny, relaxed, just laid back. He looked like he was genuinely having like a good time up there, and winning will spark a lot of that, obviously. Yeah. The last few pressers before the winning streak were not very fun. Either were the post-game pressers. But it just seemed like he's very much comfortable with where the team is at. It seems like he's pleased with where the team's focus is at. And I wrote about that for my Tuesday story, is the implications of this game are what they are, and the players are very aware of it, and the coaches are very aware of it. But it's almost as if they are disassociating what the game means with the game itself, if that makes sense. They're not looking at this as a division clinching game. We have to beat Nebraska, and if we do that, then we'll clinch the division. But they're not going into this like this is a division title game or anything like that, which I feel like is an important mindset to have, because that's pretty much how they've been able to put these wins together. It's just, okay, what can we do this week to win the game? It seems like that's the mentality this week, but it just seems like, you know, they're all very relaxed. We got a lot of players today, and everybody seemed to be in pretty good spirits. And it seems like the mood of the team is obviously a lot different today than it was, you know, literally a month ago, October 22nd, we were in Columbus, and it was one of the worst losses that Kirk Ferentz has endured as a head coach of Iowa. And, you know, 30 days later, you know, we're all on the cusp. Yeah. Potentially back-to-back division titles, you know, for the Hawkeyes, which is remarkable. Like, I didn't think that the mood of this last regular season podcast would be what we're talking about. Like, I feel like a month ago it would be transfer portal or, you know, potential coach firings and looking ahead to the offseason and do players even want to play in this game? And, you know, obviously that's certainly not the case.
Yeah, well put. Yeah, it is crazy. That was October 22nd. Today is November 22nd, as you pointed out. So exactly 1 month, how the conversations have changed since the, you know, post-game interrogation in Columbus that will always be remembered in infamy. Let's get to our three questions today, Kennington. And you mentioned player availability. The first player to come out today was Luke Lachey, which was notable because our first down topic is how big of an impact is the Sam Laporta injury. Kirk Ferentz did confirm that Sam will be out this week against the Cornhuskers. Those that remember the end of the 2019 season, as a true freshman, Sam made a huge catch down the middle of the field to set up Keith Duncan's winning field goal. That was a pass very, very similar to the one that Petras hit to Lachey at the end of the Minnesota game to win that. That image is just coming back to my mind as I'm thinking about this. Sam has been a four-year contributor to this Iowa team at tight end. He's been the best offensive player on this team all year long. Obviously, that's going to leave a mark, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only offensive captain on the team, and I think where they're going to miss him most, aside from the fact that he is an all-Big Ten caliber player, is the versatility that he brought to the table offensively. This is somebody who not only lined up on the line of scrimmage, but also lined up at receiver. So that is going to affect the formations that Iowa lines up in, potentially the type of plays that they call, because he's not out there and you can't line up in the slot, or we can't line up on the outside at that X spot. So it is going to be a huge loss. But I thought it was notable that Spencer Petras said today that it's they're not looking at it as Sam is out, let's condense the playbook. I think that they are expecting Luke Lachey to rise to the challenge more so than them taking a step back. Like, they're just expecting Luke to take a step up. And it seems like there's a lot of confidence in Luke's ability to seamlessly step into this tight end one role as best he can. I think that, you know, him being in that role and having the confidence off of the Minnesota game, I thought it was really big that he didn't just play as the starting tight end against Minnesota. He actually made significant impacts in the game. I think it would be a bit of a different conversation if, let's say, Iowa still won the game 13-10, but Luke finished with two catches for 20 yards versus a career day and the catch that put Iowa in position for the game-winning score. So I think that gave him some confidence. I think it gave the coaching staff and his teammates confidence that he can perform at this level. Addison Estrenga is obviously going to be a question mark just because this is new for him. Lachey has been a rotational player and played a lot this year. This is something that's going to be new for Addison. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds with a week running with the two. So it's going to be a step up for him as well. But I guess my biggest takeaway is it doesn't seem like, just from what we heard today, that they're going to reduce things. And I think that that's going to put a lot on Luke's plate to rise to that level. And it's going to be a great opportunity for him to continue to show what he can do.
Yeah, I wrote in one of my DVR Mondays a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember which one it was now. All these wins, they just run together, right? That Luke Lachey's blocking really had taken some steps forward. And Spencer even made a little comment today that I thought was pretty funny. He said, as a freshman, Luke Lachey would just go down, when he caught the ball. And now we're seeing him break tackles. We saw, we saw Luke Lachey line up as an X receiver against Minnesota. It was a simple play. It was in the first quarter, I believe, lined up on the left of the screen, left of the formation, and just caught about an 8-yard hook and spun forward and gained like 13 yards. I mean, it was a first down catch, and I think it was like second and long maybe. And so it's plays like that where he's getting extra yards. He just looks like he is ready for that. And to that note, it was just funny because as we were prepping for the show, we knew we were going to talk about Laporta. But a Twitter user, I'll just throw his name out there, Jake Matthews, threw this out there. Controversial take, there isn't much, if any, drop-off from Laporta to Lachey. There, I said it out loud. Not much of a shot at Laporta as it is about Lachey's stature. And I'm glad that he included that last sentence because I agree. It's not a knock on Laporta, obviously. He's been carrying the team all year. But I do think you're right, Kennington, that Lachey is ready for this moment. I really don't have a lot of concerns. I that's crazy to say without Laporta. Now, if Lachey were to get hurt, all of a sudden, big-time concern.
Right.
If Lachey stays healthy, I don't have a great concern about the Laporta loss, and maybe I'm foolish to say that. The only thing it does do is probably, pushes Iowa into maybe 11 personnel a little bit more often. I asked Kirk about that today. Also because you don't have Monty Potabom, who also was kind of one of your backup, H-back slash tight ends. So that is the one part, depth-wise. Now you're in a little more hot water, but it just changes the way Iowa plays a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the point about Lachey and Laporta, if you remember before the season, early into the season, we were looking at this offense as a tight end centric offense, one where Laporta and Lachey would potentially be the top two pass catchers, the top two guys, and felt good about the tight end room coming into it. And you felt like Lachey was ready to step into that role to be a more prominent figure in the offense. And I think to your point about 11 personnel, I think the fact that Brody Brecht has started to emerge as a little bit of a more reliable pass catcher will bode well for Iowa in a game like this. His statistics aren't eye-popping, but he had two very key third down conversions against Minnesota. So you start to see the wheels turning for him a little bit. Nico can obviously get open. We saw that in the Minnesota game on the play where him and Spencer couldn't connect. And then Arlen Bruce is still working to get back to 100%, and he'll be out there on Friday as well. So you feel pretty good about where the receivers are at relative, you know, to the rest of the season. And Lachey has proven to be reliable. So I would agree with you that it's not a major concern, but, you know, obviously he's just never been in that situation before. It's his first career start, so you never really quite know. And Kirk has spoken to this a lot, and he also brought this up with Addison as well. You feel good about certain things, and you have an idea of what you're going to get, but until you're in that situation, I mean, you just truly don't know. So that's why I feel like it's a talking point. But and I go back to the story that I did on the tight ends yesterday, going back and listening to what Abdul Hodge said during his assistant coach presser. Was that leading up to Ohio State, I believe it was. It just seemed like he's just been very impressed with Luke all season. Yeah. Says the sky's the limit. He said he's just become so versatile, so all around. So, you know, maybe last week was kind of a bit of a coming out party, and then this is going to be kind of, you know, maybe Lachey kind of planting his flag as, you know, the next great one in Iowa's tight end lineage.
Absolutely, yeah. I think he is going to be the next great tight end after Laporta. No doubts about that. And if you look at Iowa's roster – I mean, he's probably the best second stringer on the whole roster at any position. Yeah. I mean, I can't really think of another position where you've got a backup that's so good. I mean, you could maybe say you can juggle the running backs a little bit, but
yeah, potentially off from Lucas Van Ness, maybe. It just kind of depends.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I kind of think of him as a starter,
right?
Because he's the best defensive lineman, but right. But anyway, we won't get into that. Actually, we'll get into that because our second down topic, Kennington, is kind of a fun one. Player availability today was, for those that don't know, we talked to players on Tuesdays at about 11 a.m. usually. Today was pushed back a bit because they had a later practice. But there are a lot of guys that have class conflicts on Tuesdays. So there's a lot of players that we don't regularly get to talk to in the media. So we catch them in post game a little bit, but that's like at a podium, very short time frame, usually about the specific game. So it was nice to get to talk to a lot of different guys today that we had requested. And so our second down topic today, Kennington, is, you know, what are the takeaways we got from the guys we rarely see on Tuesdays? And I guess we got about four or five of them here, so we got to go quick. But I will let you start with what you heard from fill in the blank here. Sebastian Castro, he was one that I know we haven't talked to once all year. First time we've ever heard from him as a Hawkeye, at least us. So let's start with him, and we'll keep going through the list here.
Yeah, so I've been requesting Castro for like a month now, and I've been really interested to just get a chance to talk to him about first him stepping into the starter role, but just his development as a player throughout the program. Got a chance to ask him about the difficulty of waiting his turn. And he spoke to that, and he said that it is difficult, but he, you know, just kind of trusted the process, and he found himself in this situation. Something else that I asked about him that was a little bit off the beaten path was his big hit at Maryland last year, which really shifted that game and kind of propelled him to a point where he kind of got on people's radars as somebody who was a good special teams player but potentially could do some things in the secondary. He said that for him, that was like the first play where people kind of started to know his name and to recognize him. So that was a huge confidence booster for him. And you know, he spoke about his hard-hitting mentality and all of those things. It's really just kind of interesting to, you know, kind of put a face to the name and get a sense for the personalities and all that. So I enjoy talking to him. I hope there's a, you know, we'll get a chance to speak to him some more. But he's been in a pretty crucial role. And I think Kirk Ferentz spoke to that in today's presser, that they didn't expect him to be in this role, but because of injuries, he just kind of got thrusted into there, and he's done a pretty good job. So just kind of cool to get a chance to hear him talk about his development and, you know, a few other things. And I have a video posted on HawkCentral.com. It's about 6-7 minutes. So made his media debut. So you get a chance to kind of hear a lot more from him.
Xavier Wampa, let's stay in the defensive backfield here, Kennington. You know, caught. We also have a video of him posted at Hawk Central, so catch that. He obviously has been on special teams this year. Not very wordy with a lot of his answers, but super pleasant, super nice. And the two topics I think people want to know most about is he happy here? He says, yeah, he loves it here, loves the culture, really sees himself developing in the understanding of football. Obviously, we know he's a great five-star athlete. So that was notable here. You know, good to hear, I think, you know, because you want to make sure, you know, if you got a five-star recruit, you want to make sure he's happy and he sees a future for himself in the next 2 years. I mean, Kevin Merriweather is not coming back, and we'll get to some of that, some of those things in our final topic here. But, you know, there's an opportunity for Xavier to start next season for this Iowa defense, and paramount is his understanding of the defense and whatnot. So that was good to hear from him on that front. And then, of course, the Caden Proctor topic, Kennington. I was curious what your thoughts were on this, because Xavier said he's encouraged Caden to take his visits. You know, he take these visits. He, obviously, we talked about it. He went out to Oregon recently, is kind of in the evaluation process for what he wants to do next. You know, caught a little wind today that, you know, there's a rumor floating out there he might end up at Alabama this weekend for the Iron Bowl. We'll see. Xavier said he hadn't talked to him about, you know, whether he was going to come to the Iowa-Nebraska game or not. But he did say he's been telling Caden, you know, this is home, you know, come home, basically, stay home. So he's still actively recruiting Caden to stay here. Your thoughts just on that whole situation?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, I think it's sound and smart advice to go through the entire recruiting process. And I know that's not settling to Iowa fans, but I do think it's very important for these kids who are in this moment one time in their lives to get the full experience out of it and truly make sure that they're making the right decision for themselves. And if he goes on the visit to Oregon, let's say he ends up in Alabama this weekend and he still ends up at Iowa, then that's how you, then you really know that Iowa was it for him. So just let him, you know, just let the entire thing play out. I thought it was sound advice, and I think it's good for especially him who is older, and, you know, I'm sure Caden, you know, looks up to him in a lot of ways that he, that Xavier has his best interests at heart and is not kind of telling him, oh, you know, forget those visits, just come to Iowa, because Xavier didn't do that. He went through the entire recruiting process, and it went up until basically signing day where he committed. So it's good to see that he is, you know, leaning him in the direction where he can make this his own journey and make sure that he's truly, you know, happy. So that's my take on that. And I think as far as everything else in terms of learning the defense and what he had to say about himself, he is a very self-aware person. And I think that for Iowa fans, the settling thing about Xavier's demeanor and his personality is that he gives off the vibe to me as somebody who wants to be coached hard and he wants to be pushed and he doesn't want to have things handed to him. And I thought that he was very candid about the fact that the college game is faster than what he anticipated. And playing in the Big Ten is not like playing at Southeast Polk. And I know that they play at the highest level in high school football, but there's a stark contrast from playing a handful of coverages in high school and being the best player to what Phil Parker requires of his defensive backs. So I think that is really something important to note here. And the fact that he's obviously happy with how things are going this year, you know, should put Iowa's fans' minds at ease a little bit. So we'll see what happens with Proctor, but yeah, it seems like Xavier is pretty locked in.
Yeah, no, I, very productive interview. We're kind of running running along on this topic, but it's a fun topic. So we'll get through a couple more players here quick. I'll stick with guys I talked to. Brody Brecht was another guy we haven't really talked to this year. You know, conflict on Tuesday, the baseball player. Let me read you this quote, Kennington, because first of all, he is now practicing more than he has since he was a senior in high school. He's had so many injuries in the football side of things, just bad timing. You know, broke a hand early in camp last year. You know, obviously missed most of spring practice because of baseball, and then had a hamstring in fall camp this year. So here's what he said: "My whole life, football has always been my first love. A lot of people always tell me you should just play baseball with all the injuries and stuff, but this is what I want to do. I love football. I love going out there playing with my guys. There's nothing like going out there in front of 70,000 fans and playing. You don't really get that from baseball." So, you know, shots fired, maybe at his own MLB prospects. Those comments, you know, maybe drop him a couple rounds. But this is a guy that loves football, and we've seen his growth. And that was kind of the point. We've seen his growth now that he's getting on the practice field more, and he's getting better and better. He made those tough catches, as you referenced. So I don't know. I've always just thought, he's going to just try this football thing, and you know, after next year, he's going to the draft, and we'll never see him again. But now, after talking to him today, I feel like he sees himself as a big part of this Iowa football future.
Yeah, and I think that for him, this kind of goes back to the Caden Proctor recruitment thing. You have a very finite amount of time to pursue what he's trying to pursue of being like this dual sport athlete. And I commend him for trying to fulfill that to the best of his ability. And as far as where his loyalty lies with pursuing professional baseball over football, a lot of that will be determined by how much output statistically he has on the football field. Obviously, his injuries and everything that it's taken to get to this point where he can be reliable, I don't think that there's going to be a lot of NFL scouts beating down his door based on what he's done this year. And that might even be the case next year. Maybe he's just a good college receiver, but not good enough to make it to the NFL. And then he can just, you know, play baseball. Not to say that's a fallback plan, but it might just end up playing out like that. So, you know, I would like to kind of see him continue to develop. And I think the point of how many practices and how much time he's missed, I think has kind of, you know, set him back, obviously, in how good he can be as a receiver. This is somebody who's never been hurt before he got to college, and then he's right. gotten to college, and now he's just going through all these injuries. So hopefully he can stay healthy for an extended period of time, and maybe we can see kind of his full potential in both sports and see how it plays out. But that was pretty much
– That was it. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I mean, we're talking about Iowa needs to get a receiver in the portal. Well, maybe Brody Breck can be a really good development story if he stays healthy in football. Now, the problem is he's not going to be there for spring practice. So
right.
it is sort of a catch 22 there. But anyway, I know you talked to Cooper DeGene. I guess we've talked to him, you know, on game days and stuff. So we're kind of running out of time on this segment. So let's move to our third down and lump in the other guy that I talked to, Lucas Van Ness, into this topic, because who will return next year that maybe we don't expect to return? Now, this is senior day. We didn't really talk to a lot of seniors today, Kennington. So let's talk about who might walk on Friday but come back and walk again next year, just like Riley Moss did, for example, this past offseason. We've seen other guys do that before. I mean, Charlie Jones was planning to. So let's start. Just a little update from Iowa. Iowa's helmet will feature a Bill Brazier tribute on Friday. How about that? So that's pretty cool to the late Iowa defensive coordinator. Nice touch there. Let me start with Van Ness. Kennington, let me just get that out of the way, and then you talk about some seniors maybe. Lucas said, and I quote, let me call up the quote. He hasn't thought about the NFL. He said, I haven't even looked into that yet. I think that's a decision that'll have to be made and looked at after the season, but I love this program. I love it here, and I have no interest in leaving. So he just talked about wanting to focus on playing his absolute best. And he said, if you play your best, then that stuff will take care of itself. So he's not really focused on it. I didn't get the sense that he was closing the door to leaving, but I also got the sense hearing him talk about the seniors that we're about to talk about, that he has a great respect for what they have done and finishing like their 4 years, 5 years at Iowa. And I think he sees himself as maybe being one of those team leaders next year for this team. Just the sense I got. And I think that's a good sign that he has a quote on the record now that says, I have no interest in leaving. So yeah. There you go. Anyway, so I know we got to get moving, but yeah. A lot of seniors here, man, to talk about. I mean, I don't think Campbell's coming back. I don't think Laporta's coming back. Moss can't come back. Merriweather, let's take him off the table. He's ready for the pros. But there are a lot of other guys that are maybes. Who springs to mind, maybe, again, the maybe top couple? And these are just speculation, having fun with it. But who might come back that we might not expect at this point that walks on Friday?
Yeah, I'm looking at two guys on the defensive line, John Wagner and Joe Evans, two guys who took a step forward this year. And, you know, they've been consistent contributors and starters and rotational players, all those things. But, you know, I kind of look at them. I'm not exactly sure where their professional prospects lie. An opportunity to come back, maybe put some more, you know, things on film. And I'm thinking about somebody like, Joe Evans, local guy. Potential NIL could be on the table for him if he comes back for another year. So that would probably be where I would start. Those two I would definitely keep my eye on.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, there's a ton of guys that spring to mind. Like Terry Roberts, I asked Kirk about Terry Roberts today because he, you know, if he could get healthy, gosh, what a great story it would be if he'd come back and have a really nice sixth year. But I got the sense from Kirk that this was kind of it from him. Did you get that sense as well?
Yeah, he said something to the effect of there won't be a next year. So
yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Kirk sometimes feels like he doesn't even like process that stuff, you know. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
He's not thinking about like COVID years right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not sure what to take from that, but
yeah. If I could, you know, taking that comment off the table, I would have him in the stay category as well. Obviously he doesn't have a lot of tape for the NFL, but you just think about what he did at the beginning of the year. I mean, he was the best. He was the best cornerback on the team, it's up until when he got hurt. So he was playing. He was playing lights out. So hopefully, he can get a chance to get healthy. Kirk also said that he really hasn't gotten to be 100%. Even going back to the injury before this injury, we don't even know what this injury is. But you know, the one that kept him out pretty much, the second half of last year. So you know, just really unfortunate because he really is, impressive talent, huge team leader as well. So hopefully, he can get healthy. And if he has the option, I'm sure he will come back.
Seth Benson, you know, he's a fifth-year senior now. Obviously, very undersized as a linebacker. I think he could probably – I mean, I'm not an NFL scout, but I'm guessing he's the type of guy that would have to go undrafted, maybe a late rounder and be a special teamer, potentially in the NFL. But – at the same time, I mean, Iowa's going to need some linebacker help next year. We think Justin Jacobs is going to come back. That would be a great story for Iowa. That'd be a great development. Could Seth Benson come back? Noah Shannon, same deal. Kind of undersized if he goes to the next level. Again, not doubting these guys at all, but just their size and stuff like that it makes it difficult to envision a long-term NFL future. So do they come back now that college athletes are getting money? You know, it's not like you're getting nothing anymore and play a sixth year. But I know it's really hard to go through the program at Iowa. A lot of guys say that's so much easier in the NFL level because you get time off. You know, you get like months at a time off where you're back home. Like here, you're training like almost every week.
Yeah.
So anyway, just another couple guys there on defense. And I know there's a big one on offense we'll still need to talk about.
Yeah, to your point about how hard it is to play at Iowa, Jack Campbell said that today. He said, if anybody who gets to the program, they have my respect because it's not easy. And when Kirk was talking about the seniors today, he said the exact same thing. He said, it's not easy to play for us. It's not easy to make it through and graduate, much less, you know, make it, you know, through 3 years, maybe go to the league. But graduate through the program is difficult. And he said that college football is year round. I mean, you play in the fall. You immediately go into winter workouts. Then you have spring practice. Then you have summer conditioning. You're balancing school on top of all of those things. Now you factor in, you know, NIL and endorsements and all those other things. It's a full-time job, basically. So it's not easy. So if any of these guys decide, I want to bypass this, test myself, at the next level, more power to them. But I think especially on the defensive side, there's going to be some really interesting decisions to make. And I'm not of belief that all of them are going. I think some of them are going to come back for sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, we just don't know. The guys we've asked, it's like, you know, they're not going to talk about it now. And you don't really need them to talk about it. I mean, this particular stuff is way more, it's stuff we can talk about, but it's not really, they should not be thinking about it. And they're not.
That's the effects of a winning streak. I mean, if Iowa was 3-8 or whatever, you have a lot more time to think about this, but they're potentially about to play for another championship. So you can't put kind of those things on the back burner because what's happening right now with the team is the most important thing.
Yeah, we're running out. We like to keep this at 30 minutes. We're at 30 right now, but we got to get to Spencer Petras. You know, is there a chance he comes back? He did not. That was something, it was clear he did not want to really even talk about senior day. So that was not a topic that was going to be met with, that would have been met with resistance today. So that's a future topic with him. He has said this is his last year, but let's say he goes out and performs well. Does he consider coming back for that sixth year? And at the same token, I think you put Nico Ragaini in the same bucket there. You know, great friends, you know, guys that have been through a lot in this program. I think both of them would be candidates to come back, especially if Iowa doesn't find a quarterback answer in the portal.
Yeah. And I could see a scenario where both of them come back. I think that Nico coming back is more likely, just because Iowa needs wide receiver help. Nico was very clear about his goal of playing in the NFL over the summer and wanting to put his best foot forward. And he has been an impact player within Iowa's offense when given the opportunities. But the way that he started the year injured, he just wasn't able to kind of put that best foot forward just because he got off to a slow start. So I think that he's probably a little bit more likely than Spencer. I think that for Spencer, this is probably the end for him at Iowa. And I don't know what he would do or what his plans are post-Iowa, but it just kind of feels like this would be you know, a good note to end on. Let's say Iowa beats Nebraska, and he could leave the program as a you know, through all the controversy and all the everything, the turnovers, the ups and downs, he could leave. You know, I don't know where he stacks up in wins all time at Iowa, so don't quote me on this, but maybe potentially one of the most winningest quarterbacks in school history and back-to-back division titles, which I don't believe any other quarterback in school history has done, especially in the era of divisions. So a chance to end on a good note and maybe, you know, some well wishes from Iowa fans for what he's been able to, you know, endure through the program. So maybe both of them come back, but I think that is probably Nico stays and Spencer goes.
Yeah, and more time to talk about this maybe in bowl prep, whatnot. Yeah, good pull there, Kennington, because Iowa finished a half game out of a division title in the COVID year, won it last year, have a chance to win it on Friday at Kinnick Stadium. All right, we will preview the Iowa-Nebraska game in full in our Wednesday radio show, and we'll try to get that into your feeds as early as possible because I know you are traveling probably this weekend, this holiday weekend. So we'll get that to you soon. Fun to talk today, Kennington. Busy week, short week. For Chad Lysico, this is Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register saying so long, and we'll talk to you next time.